Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And Dylan, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Absolutely. My name is Dylan Richter. I live in Hillsboro, Illinois. It's about an hour north of St. Louis. And I currently run a candy store called The Sweet Spot. Before this, really quick, I spent about close to 9 years at DoorDash.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Yeah, so my wife is originally from here. We were living in Chicago before this. Her dad got sick, and that's what brought us back a couple years ago to help out with all that. And while we were here, the downtown area, we kind of saw it over the past couple years go through some revitalization and thought if we could participate in some way in that, it's like what you would think of as small town Hallmark movie type thing. We thought that would be very cool. So I had been working at my at DoorDash for a long time and loved it, had a great experience, knew it wouldn't be forever. She's a scientist. She's the brains of the family. And she was still, or she still is working part-time in the lab, but she wasn't physically in the same place. So couldn't do the bench science that she was used to. So we wanted to start something new. We love candy. We asked everybody here what they thought was missing. Nobody said candy store, but they did say things for kids, things that were family friendly, and put two and two together. And we went for it. So it's been about 6 months so far since we opened.
Awesome. And how are things going for you guys so far?
Surprisingly well. The town has been super, super supportive. We've been having a lot of fun with it. We still got a lot of stuff to figure out, but we carry a lot. We have over 1,000 SKUs, all different types of sweets and candy, and we try to make it a place that is welcoming to everybody. And also, it would be difficult for somebody to not find at least one thing in there that they like. So knock on wood, I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far, and everyone seems to be enjoying it and coming back a lot. So far, so good. Excited for this year though.
That's awesome. So I guess like in terms of your business, really, like what's the breakdown? Are you guys selling online or is it all retail? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I actually just did, because of my DoorDash days, a little 2024 planning exercise. It's ingrained in me, so I can't not do it. We're about 90% in-store walk-in business, about 6% online right now. We do some wholesale. So freeze dried candy. I didn't know it existed until we opened this place. Super popular. So wholesale is about 1.5%. We sell to other places, grow online and retail that sell our freeze dried candy. And then what I call like off-premise events is another 1.5% roughly of the business. Concession stands. It was a big basketball tournament in town yesterday or this past weekend that I was at all weekend, every day, providing the kids and adults with some candy. So yeah, that's what it looks like right now. I'm hoping over the course of this year to change that, evolve that a little bit. I would love for 25% plus of the business to be what I'll call non-core, non-walk-in. We got a little ways to go to get there, but that's the plan.
Great. So in terms of growth, what are your plans in next 3 to 6 months? What are your short-term goals?
Yeah. So short term, couple aspects of the business that we want to focus on super intentionally. We want this to be a place, we're not in a big city, we're in a pretty small, like very small town. There's like 5,000 people here. So there's not a bunch of local tourism. You can't depend on that foot traffic. We need to make it a place that's a habit. So looking for ways to make this more habitual behavior, people who come in once every 3-4 months, let's get them to come in once a month. So a couple days ago, we actually just launched a rewards program, very like the traditional earn points every dollar you spend and it unlocks rewards as you go. So we want to increase repeat business. I want to grow the wholesale business and events business. So like I mentioned before, it's not going to happen in 3 months, but trying to grow our non-core, non-walk-in from 10% to 25% plus. And then the other big bucket is let's make this business a little bit more sustainable for the long term. So far it has been myself and my wife, running everything. We've had some help from family members, which has been fantastic. But this week we had our first, it's my wife's aunt, actually. Her name is Sally. She's fantastic. Our first kind of full-time employee coming to help out. My hypothesis hypothesis is there's a lot of small towns just like this across the US that are overlooked, underserved. There's a big opportunity there if you can invest in them and provide them with a good experience. Candy's relatively cheap, pretty accessible, universally appealing. So my pipe dream is that there could be many more of these in the future all over the place. We obviously have to do a much better job and get good at this one right now. But hopefully by the end of next year, we will have our eyes set on location number two and beyond.
That's awesome. So I guess like when you say like 25% not walk-in, right? So is that going to be like, so you mentioned wholesale, is that going to be more wholesale or direct to consumer? Like what does the breakdown look like from that 25%?
So far, I think there's a pretty big opportunity in selling freeze-dried candy in particular wholesale. So it's funny because this didn't actually come about because of my working at DoorDash for a long time, but there's Dash Mart's big like convenience warehouses that they have all over the place. Long story short, I got connected to the people that are in charge of the Chicago area ones. I did not know these people before, but got in touch with them and they were looking for freeze-dried candy. So they now buy some freeze-dried Skittles from us at a couple locations. But there are many, many Dash Marts and there are many, many SKUs of freeze-dried candy. And then there's many other, I don't even know what all the opportunities are with wholesale, but there's many other potential customers for wholesale candy. That's a big area that I want to go kind of explore and try to build. Then the other big one, I know online, that's kind of like what I spent 9 years doing with DoorDash. I think there's an opportunity there. To be frank, like I don't exactly know what my differentiator is going to be. You can buy candy online from a lot of places relatively easily. So we'll have it, but I think that for the near term will be mostly local people who want to kind of support their local business, buy something that has their town's name on it, you know, and our branding and whatnot. But then events is another area where I think there's an interesting opportunity. I know concessions doesn't sound like the most, you know, revolutionary idea in the world, but if you, at least the sample size of one experience that I had this past weekend, it was our first proper, you know, event doing something like that. If you could bring something a little bit unique, a little bit different, not your cookie cutter candies, but we're a candy store, so we have all sorts of stuff. People tend to have a lot of fun with that. And if we can get it right, you know, hire a couple high school kids, find some stuff within a couple hours of here, and we could do many, many events many times over, and we'll see where that goes. But that's what that's looking like.
Makes sense. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you face in the business right now?
Biggest challenge? That's a good question. There's inventory management is less of a challenge and more of a headache. It's not particularly hard, but because of the volume that we're doing, and I know there's like many people who have lots of experience doing this, I just don't. So we're kind of figuring out as we go. The frequency of ordering, finding new SKUs. I think I mentioned earlier, we have about 1,000 different things and some of them perishable. We have cheesecakes, caramel apples, stuff like that. So just the cadence of ordering and then like logistically getting it like physically into our building because we don't have a lift gate. We're like a single, you know, mom and pop style store. That's a challenge. The other challenge, which is probably more applicable to people who don't work in this type of business, ingrained in me from DoorDash days is just trying to, I always want to build and grow things, kind of that builder mentality. So I will always have a list of 10 to 20 things that I want to go do. And if I try to do them all, A, they will all not go well, and B, my wife will kill me. So it's just finding that balance of prioritizing and like, let's make sure we go and try and do these 1, 2, 3 things really, really well this week, this month, whatever your time horizon is, and then see if it works, double down if it does, move on to the next thing if it doesn't. So that prioritization is the other trick.
Yeah, I feel like as an entrepreneur, it's like a never ending list of things that you always have to do. But 1,000 SKUs, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, I mean, that's a lot of SKUs. So, I mean, in terms of managing that, like, are you planning on getting more SKUs or cutting down, or is that a good number? Like, what do you think about, like, you know, that number of SKUs?
I think it will only grow, and I don't have an exact number I want to grow it to, but the good thing about candy is most of it is perishable at some point, but not in the near term. It lasts anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, depending on what you're talking about. And we have some things that are super popular, freeze-dried being a good example of it. We have some things that are, you know, sell one every month, chocolate Necco wafers. But one thing, one principle I learned from DoorDash, selection is very, very powerful. And if you have a very wide breadth of it, then you are likely to capture everybody that walks through the door, convert them into a customer. And even the ones who are looking for some super niche specific thing, you know, you'll be the go-to place for them moving forward. So want to keep growing it. We're going to probably need some more shelf space in order to do that. But it's not like I have to reorder all 1,000 of these SKUs, you know, every week, every month. It's a small selection. I use Square as my point of sale. I use their inventory management feature, which makes it much easier. But I have like 8 to 10 different distributors that I get most of the candy from. So just that, who am I buying what from? A lot of them carry the same stuff too. It's a inefficient process that I hope to spend a little time making more efficient this year.
For sure. I mean, I guess you mentioned, right, you've been in business like for about 6 months and you're in a really small town. So how have you gotten the word out about your business?
One of the things that was appealing to me when we were talking about doing this is actually like, that's not that big of a problem. Now, I'm not going to pretend that like everybody knows that we exist, but in a smaller town where you have a couple restaurants, you have like one downtown strip of, I don't know the exact number, there's probably like 15, 20 retail businesses total. You stand out if you're something new. It doesn't even really matter what, like most of the people will figure out that it's coming and figure out it's there. So we haven't had to invest a significant amount in marketing. We benefited greatly from finding a building like right downtown Main Street across from the movie theater we have in town, and had a big sign on that building for probably like 9 months before we actually opened. So people knew that it was coming. We had done a few smaller, I'm going to call it like virtual pop-up candy sales after we had kind of announced that this candy store is coming in 2024. For the holidays, we put together like a Christmas box of some unique candies that you probably wouldn't find in a Walmart. So we had like a slow trickle of kind of a buzz, for lack of better words. But then once we opened, I didn't want to overwhelm ourselves. I didn't really have a concept for how well it was going to do, how many people we'd get. So I actually didn't want to spend too much money or time or effort on marketing. I kind of wanted to let word of mouth do its thing. And once we get a baseline, once, you know, things are running smoothly, then we can pour gasoline on the fire if it's going well. So this year actually is when I think we'll start to get a little bit more into testing out some paid, you know, non-paid marketing channels, all that good stuff.
So everything so far has been pretty much 100% by word of mouth.
Mostly. So the people that we bought the building from, they also have some billboards in town. They gave us a really good deal on a billboard that leads into town. So we have a billboard, messed around with a little paid advertising on Facebook, targeted stuff. But that's about it. The rest of it has been word of mouth. We did have one like kind of buzzy campaign that we did, collaboration with the movie theater across the street for the Wonka movie. We essentially recreated, you know, the 1971 golden ticket in a chocolate bar. We made a lot of chocolate bars designed for our town. They were called Burrow Bars, and that went a little like locally viral. We shot a video for it to kind of announce it. And the town had a lot of fun with that. We ended up on the St. Louis News, which is, again, like an hour away. So we've done some things that we got really lucky with and worked out well, but it's been, yeah, a lot of organic word of mouth and all that so far.
Perfect. So in terms of a little bit survey, have you done any survey like the people in your town are more towards buying the things by physically going to the shop, or they order it online more? So what's the percentage of retail and online?
Yeah, it's far more physical in person. I haven't done any like formal surveys or anything like that, mm-hmm. but this is also like a pretty rural small town where all like the most advanced stuff is not particularly prevalent, right? Or prevalent. And I would also say that in a town like this, there's like, it's great, but there's not a million things to do. So to have a fun experience, go and spend, you know, 20 minutes walking around the candy store, see what's new, meet up with a friend, talk to them, go to the coffee shop, you know, next door. The experiential aspect is really important. And I think that that will translate into, I think that that concept translates across a lot of small towns where there's just not a tremendous amount of stuff to do. So yeah, like you can buy most of the candy you can find in my store online. It's going to cost you a little bit more because we, you know, we buy wholesale and we can give a little better pricing on it. Some of the stuff is not, you know, Snickers bars you can get anywhere. That's not that exciting. but like walking into the store and I, you know, I am biased, of course, but I think we did a pretty good job of trying to make it a really nice store that people can walk into and like would not necessarily expect to be in a small town. So we invested in that experience. And I think that's part of the reason why people like to come in. Come in, hang out. We have some seats in the back. You can eat whatever you bought, hang out back there, have a glass bottle of soda, whatever you want to do.
So I guess like, So you mentioned, right, that you're going to be ramping up ads in 2024 or ramping up like your marketing. So what does that look like? Does that mean like more like spending money on ads? And are the ads going to be for foot traffic or for people coming in, like are people buying online? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, no, excellent question. I think when I think of like we just launched this rewards system. That is a form of you know investment marketing investment. You're giving incentives for people to come back, discounting items, gift cards if you reach a certain point threshold, things like that. So that's like I'm going to establish the baseline there, and then from that I want to drive as many people towards signing up for that as possible, coming into the store if they haven't heard about us or seen us before. So it will be some probably targeted Facebook ads. And another like benefit of being in a small town is there's not a tremendous amount of competition for eyeballs. So, you know, if I were in Chicago opening the store, bidding for eyeballs in the like 24 to 35 demographic, I'm making up, you know, numbers here, that would cost quite a bit of money. Here, it does not cost that much to get a lot of reach. So I think we will try to do some more targeted stuff into the surrounding towns outside of ours. Direct mail. I know that sounds old school, but like that's the best way to physically get in front of someone. We have obviously like little kids come in with their parents, a lot of grandparents, that cohort's not on social media, like the stuff in the newspapers, stuff on direct mail, like that's what's going to reach them too. And then the other answer is like, I don't exactly know yet. So we're going to try some things and then see what resonates, see what works well, go from there. Could be discounts, could be limited time stuff in the store that we try to use and build, you know, excitement around. But yeah, we got to keep things fresh in a small town like this. There's only so much population. So you got to keep them interested in coming back at some frequency to make it work out.
For sure. Like, so what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
There's like 1,000 things I would probably slightly design differently with the actual layout of the store. We just like kind of made that up as we went. But that's not a really real exciting one. It's probably something I actually learned throughout the tenure at DoorDash, which is one of the reasons why we took the risk to start the store in the first place. I used to have to think that like you have to know how to do everything. Like if you don't know how to do it or you don't know someone who knows how to do it, then it's going to be hard. You're going to fail. You're going to, you know, embarrass yourself. You're going to get it wrong. And the longer I've gone in my career, whatever you want to call it, like the more I've realized that no one actually knows what they're doing 99% of the time. We're all making it up as we go. But the thing you get better at over time is figuring out how to do it, how to get it done when the situations arise. So whether it's like deciding what inventory we're going to have, figuring out how to make inventory ordering more efficient, how aggressive should we discount on some certain item or run a promotion, like all of those things we're going to try. And it's going to be okay if it doesn't go great. Like the consequence of getting it wrong is very small. You'll learn from it. And I think that concept of, no, I don't know how to do all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff I'm probably doing today that's like wrong or inefficient or could be done 1,000 times better if I had 10 years of experience in retail, but like, it's okay. I'll figure it out as I go. That's the advice I would have given myself like 10 years ago is like, chill. Don't worry about it. If you don't know how to do something, of course, there's like always learning opportunities and you should go seek out people who do have experience and ask them questions and all that stuff, but it's okay not to know. And that shouldn't prevent you from trying it in the first place.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Hopefully in a year, we are opening one or two more locations. The other thing that's always been a big motivator, and I joined DoorDash relatively early on. I'm not a founder or anything like that, but I took a lot of pride in working really hard, trying to grow something. And then I turned around a year later, 2 years later, and there's like 10 more people in the Chicago office than there were last year. And then there was 50 more. And like the ability to be part of something and you work really hard and then you create a living for other people. And it's more than just a job, right? Like I want it to be fun and people have a good time doing it and get some sense of, reward, not just monetary out of it. But I am hoping that a year from now, there's a path to not only like one, two, three more locations for the sweet spot, but also hopefully a group of people who are as excited about growing it as I am. And who knows where it can go if you can, cultivate that. So fingers crossed, we will see. I look forward to January 8th next year to
open up and see. But I guess at. Like I was curious, right? Like, is your vision to open up more stores in like small towns, or are you going to go to like a bigger city? Like, what is the vision for it?
Small towns is where I want to start. And I think it's important that it's not like my wife and her family are from the town that we live in. Everybody right. knows them. It's a very small town where everybody knows everybody. I think that's part of the ingredients for success of something like this. So when, a couple hours away, some small other town in Illinois or Missouri, we open, it can't be probably franchising model is what I'm getting at. It's probably not me opening it. It's got to be someone from that community who people know, like, trust, want to see successful. There's a pretty significant hometown pride feeling that I didn't quite know was a thing. Like I grew up in a suburb of Chicago and had a fantastic time, and people who live there love it too. But I'd never experienced a smaller, rural town like this. And that was one of the very cool, surprising aspects of it. So if you can give them a format that they can be proud of with people that they like and respect, then I think you can make a pretty solid business for somebody. And then replicate that, every town, small town, or every town across small town USA, and see where it goes.
Awesome. Well, that's very exciting. So if somebody watching this wants to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. The store's website is trythesweetspot.com. My email, if you want to reach out, Dylan, DYLAN, @trythesweetspot.com. That would be the best way.
Awesome. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Thanks, Dylan. Bye-bye.
See you guys. I appreciate it. That's fun.